Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the new season of Kaler and Salud. But first, starting today, the award-winning documentary Going Varsity in Mariachi is on Netflix. And here's a clip.
We have this music in our blood. Mariachi music, it is home. Okay, so the competition is a short 2 months away. The one that you all want, your baby, the state competition.
I want all three songs perfect.
We can't be the group that sucks.
You are the heartbeat of the group. High responsibility.
When it comes to mariachi, it's competitive.
Watch me practice that part over and over again.
There's no faking in this group. We're a little bit pressed on time.
Breathe, guys, breathe.
I've had teams in the past that are championship level teams. This year, we're not there.
Going Varsity in Mariachi, the documentary follows the Edinburgh North High School Mariachi Oro. The film is rated 94 on Rotten Tomatoes. That's an accomplishment. We're joined by one of the co-directors, Sam Osborne. And Sam, welcome to The Source.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Other co-directors, Alejandro Vasquez. So Sam, what brought your attention to these mariachi competitions that we have in Texas?
So Alejandro and I were filming another UIL competition in Texas, and one of the coaches there told us that mariachi had been sanctioned. And this was like five, six years ago, sanctioned for the first time to be competed at on the same level as cheerleading and football. And it really just struck us. And we had heard about, you know, club mariachi, but we didn't hear about competitive mariachi being very official and competed at and just sort of on the same level as something as, you know, Friday Night Lights. And so we thought that's interesting. And we started looking into it.
The film is interesting on so many levels. You get into the lives, the challenges that many of the children face as they seek to, you know, better their lives and become great mariachi performers. But also it shows us a different side of the border that we typically are getting from the mainstream media. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think we were really struck. I mean, both Alejandra and I are from Mexican-American backgrounds, and I think when we went to South Texas, the RGV, and started filming, I think we were really struck by just how much joy and pride is in these groups and in the schools that are supporting them. And I think we really, really wanted to put forward that joy and make a film that kind of highlights it and highlights the culture of the borderlands and make sure that that culture is really, I don't know, admired and the pride of it is really upheld. And we really wanted to put that forward as much as possible.
Do we see in the documentary, and I'm going to watch the whole thing tonight, I've only seen clips of it, but it's now on Netflix, I can watch
yes.
it. So, I mean, that having programs like this helps keep kids in school?
I think so. I mean, I think the reason we chose this school in particular, I mean, there are many kind of, this area of South Texas is sort of the you know, the best in terms of competitive mariachi. And so we had sort of a choice of many teams to choose from. And this school, Edinburgh North, we chose because Abel Acuna, the group director, does just what you're saying, is trying to kind of instill these disciplines that don't necessarily always have anything to do with music, that are more to do with like being on time and being responsible and kind of showing up and all of these kind of adult traits that, you know, succeeding in a mariachi group, a competitive mariachi group, really kind of instills. And so we kind of latched on to his philosophy of teaching, which was more than just winning trophies. You know, we knew we could have chosen any team that wanted to win a trophy. We chose Edinburgh North, Mr. Acuna's team, because he really wanted to kind of help these students get into adulthood safely.
So this is on Netflix. This was an award winner at Sundance. This is playing to audiences across the United States, around the world, who aren't familiar with South Texas. How are they seeing, you know, the fact that the mariachi is a UIL recognized competitive thing, and the lives of these young people?
It's fascinating because we've shown it in Mexico and in Europe. And one thing is that everywhere we show it, someone always comes up to us from the audience that is from South Texas. They're like, I went to Enbring North, or I went to McAllen. So that always happens. It feels like a very insular community, but it's, you know, of course they're everywhere. But then it's interesting showing it in Mexico, where these kind of competitive programs don't exist. Mariachi is kind of more traditionally passed down. It's like an oral tradition. You can learn it. You kind of come up in groups if that's what your dad or your, you know, mentor is into. And they're really surprised that the U.S., in Texas in particular, which, you know, is sometimes known to demonize Mexican culture, has put all this money, this kind of like public funded school money, towards teaching traditional Mexican culture. And they're kind of like shocked by it sometimes. And that's been really fascinating to see. It's sort of like a galvanizing reaction to the movie.
So this is now on Netflix. Was Netflix, were they easy to work with? Were they hungry for something like this, a documentary that really reflects the reality of South Texas?
I don't know what, I can't really speak to what Netflix was interested in. But I know that we made it for a broad platform like Netflix. I think we wanted this movie to be kind of a, you know, for everybody. I think we didn't go into it making it only for people that were into mariachi or grew with mariachi. We wanted to make it for people who didn't know what it was at all, that they could get into it as the kind of sports film that it's built as the kind of competition film. And so I imagine that Netflix kind of hopefully saw that in it, that it was something that could appeal to its Latin American audiences, but that everyone would kind of be able to tune into and not be lost or confused or kind of have to catch up on.
And Sam, as you go into a documentary project, you don't know what you're going to end up with. Were you surprised along the way by the character of these kids?
Yeah, I mean, that was the hardest part of the film is there's 20 students on these teams. And, you know, we only have like 100 minutes to use in this movie. And so we really had to figure out which of these characters are the ones we're going to focus on. And that was really the hardest thing. And we ended up with 300 hours of footage because we just started going to mariachi class every day. We moved to the RGB. We kind of just put ourselves back in high school. And yeah, I think the students we landed on as the main characters were really the leaders of the team, and the things that were and the students were, things were just happening to them. You know, they were really going through, you know, the challenges of high school, of teenagerhood, and I think we kind of just like saw that happening in them and really and begged them to allow us to follow them around for a year.
Going Varsity in Mariachi, a documentary that follows the Enbring North High School Mariachi Oro. The film is on Netflix starting today, and I'm going to be watching it tonight. But the clips that I saw, I mean, they had me emotional, so I can't wait to see the whole thing, Sam. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about a new season of KLRN Salud program. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Jingu House in the Japanese Tea Garden, featuring Asian cuisine with a San Antonio twist. Open for lunch 7 days a week. View the menu at jinguhousesatx.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Season 4 of KLRN's original program, Salud, premieres on September 5th, about a week from today. The show spotlights Latinas who are dedicated to excellence in serving their communities. And we're joined by Sherry St. Clair. She is KLRN's Director of News and Production, and Jessica Degollado. She is a 40-year veteran of television journalism, and she now co-hosts KLRN's Salud. And welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So this is a program, at first, forgive me, I thought, well, this is a show about health. I thought it was about a health, but, you know, I guess a lot of people make them, you know, but then you start watching and you see it's much, much more,
right.
You know. So, Sherry, tell me about the concept and how this came about.
Well, the concept for this really just came from looking around as a longtime San Antonian and suddenly realizing, which, you know, I think all of us have seen, Latinas leading everywhere. And growing up in San Antonio in the 70s, I remember when I was in high school, I think it was Lila Cockrell was a mayor. That was a big deal because she was a woman. I mean, you know, we've lived enough life now to know that we came from this time when men were leading everything, and then women began leading. And a few years ago, I had looked around and was like, you know, look at all these Latinas in town, man. They're doing everything. So we were fortunate enough at KLRN to get the funding because everything we do has to be funded. And we got funding from Texas Mutual. Our team there did it. Arthur Emerson, our president and CEO, was totally behind this. And we just started producing this show about women who lead in South Texas. And it's been so much fun. It's just been great. And the idea just came about, honestly, just from growing up here and going from where it was when I was young to where we are now. And I'm excited. I won't be around, although who knows, but I mean, looking forward, Latinas are going to lead this city, and we're blessed to have their input. They're so much a part of what San Antonio is.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can also send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. Do you know of a Latina in your life, someone that you know, you respect, you admire, who is dedicated to excellence and serving the San Antonio communities? Give us a call. We just tell us. We'd love to spotlight them right now, and maybe your idea will eventually lead to a segment on Salud. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Jesse Degollado, you were actually someone that had been spotlighted in the program, and now what is your role going to be?
Well, I will be co-hosting with the wonderfully talented Melanie Mendez-Gonzalez, and I will be doing a segment called Getting Started. I will be talking to some of these women, Latina leaders, about, well, how did you get started? What was it like for you? What kind of obstacles did you face? What did you learn? What are some of the mistakes you made along the way? And what is it that you hope to share with others who may be hesitant about getting started themselves? And it's amazing to see how forthcoming these women are about their own experiences. And so that's what I try to convey with this. And now being affiliated with KLRN for a program that truly does salute women who are making a difference in their communities, I'm privileged. I'm privileged to have that role with them because, again, that, as Sherry said, that needed to be highlighted. And so I'm just grateful for that much. I really look forward to, of course, our viewers watching and learning.
I'm going to play a clip. This is from one of the interviews that y'all have done. This is right. With a former city council person and almost mayor of San Antonio. She lost in the runoff, but this is with Maria Berriozábal.
My journey to becoming the first Latina elected to the San Antonio City Council in 1981 starts with my ancestors, with knowing the history of my ancestors, and being from a community that is very active. I had been active in my community for over 25 years. This is 1980. And the Henry Cisneros decided not to run for mayor. So I decided, with the help of many friends and family, to launch my campaign, just because I believed that we needed to be responsible for electing our own and not have outsiders come and represent us. I represented District 1, and actually it was the first time that we had had single member district elections, because before that we had at large and our neighbors could never get elected. So I ran to represent my neighborhood where I had lived all my life, and because the opportunity was there for us to be our own leaders. I grew up in at a time in San Antonio, and as a Mexican-American child, the daughter of immigrants, in fact, I wrote a book, and it's called Maria, Daughter of Immigrants, where I grew up seeing things that were not right. I don't think at the time I said they're not right. Like when it rained, we had a lake in our backyard, and we thought it was fun, you know, to go into the lake in our backyard. That was wrong. Those were drainage issues, issues of class and issues of poverty. I didn't see that because we had what we needed. But then as I grew up and started seeing other neighborhoods, you know, well, this is a poor neighborhood, and I can do something about it.
So Maria Perez-Albal, certainly a trailblazer and a champion for San Antonio, for the working class, and for many people in San Antonio who didn't really have a voice. And so, you know, Jesse de Gallardo, I'm sure when you were at KSAT, you had many opportunities to cover her and, yes, and interview her, but able to put her in a different kind of format to just let her talk about her life and her inspirations and where she is in with the world. Can you talk about that?
As a matter of fact, I did a story with her when she published her book. And you walk into her house, and it is lined with photographs and memories that she has cherished and kept and preserved of her family, her ancestors, that she speaks so proudly of. And this is a woman who didn't just think about, well, this is where I came from. She acted on that. She wanted to share that with the community, wanted to share that with other Latinas, especially young Latinas. Can you imagine young Latinas today listening to those words that we just heard? What that must say to them, at least what I hope that should say to them, that yes, we've come this far, but how much further do we need to go? And it takes someone like Maria Berriozabal and those future generations to carry that forward.
And Sherry St. Clair, you know, having, so you have a different, it's industry, it's business, it's mm-hmm. health, it's computers, everything, and including politicians, civil servants, military, all types of people you all find to talk about.
We have really gone, we have, as you said, everybody. We've had entertainers, you know. Maria was fabulous. She was a great interview. We have paired her in this upcoming show with a leader from Floresville, a young woman who's leading there now on the city council. But when we started, you know, like we had Hope Andrade, she was one of the first ones, you know, that we had. Every one of these people has, even though their
businesses
are different.
She's a former Secretary of State for the state of Texas.
Former Secretary of State, yeah. And just,
first Latina.
Yeah, and she said, I do servant leadership. What I love about this is they talk about their type of leadership, how they lead, what they've learned, as Jesse said. They come up and they talk about, you know, the different things in their particular business. And the funny thing is, it's all really intertwined. It all comes down to learning to lead, not being afraid to lead. And a lot of these women had some very tough things that pushed them into leadership. You know, we talked to Hope Andrade. We've had Patsy Torres on, a singer, who talks about being a singer and men in the industry trying to tell her, well, you know, you got to flirt with this guy. And she's like, no, I don't. You know, and she did things her way. We had Carmen Tafoya on, the author, and it was just incredible to talk to her. And, you know, when we talk about women that get pushed into leadership when they don't want to, that one of the hardest ones we did this season was Kimberly Matarubio, whose daughter Lexi died in Uvalde. And Kimberly, I debated whether to do her just because I thought she's leading, but this is so tragic. And I consulted with Jesse and our producer, Christina Romo. We felt like she truly is a leader, and she is.
I'm going to play a segment, a clip for that.
My name is Kimberly Rubio, and I'm Lexi's mom. I am a former journalist. I run. I'm a runner. I am an advocate. I want Lexi to be remembered, and I want her to be remembered in a way that I feel she would want. And Lexi's a leader. And I just want to be most like her. Leading is difficult because there are days when you don't want to get out of bed, when all I want to do is just wallow in my grief. But there's work to be done and someone needs to do it. Lexi's legacy is my greatest responsibility, and I am determined to make change in her name. I want her to be remembered for more than just the tragedy, more than just the way that she died, but the life she lived and the life she could have had. Before May 24th, 2022, I was a small town girl. I was a mom of five, and I was content with a small life. I thought my greatest contribution to this world would be the children that I raised. And since Lexi's passing, I have decided to turn my pain into purpose. And that means for me working in the gun violence prevention space at the federal level, at the state level, and also fighting for transparency and accountability here at the local level. I think most Americans, and this also includes Texans, are tired. We're tired of the gun violence. We want change. But for some reason, there's a disconnect with our leaders, if you'll call them that. And they're resistant to change. And when we visited the Capitol, we were there almost every week during last legislative session demanding change. And what I've come to realize is I want to share Lexi's story to change hearts, to change minds. But if they won't change, then I think the answer is just to vote them out of office and replace them with those that are willing to do the work.
Jesse, I know that you were probably there as I was covering Uvalde and have interviewed Kimberly. And, you know, she does not want to be in the spotlight, but she feels like that's where she has to be.
Well, fortunately and unfortunately, I was not in Uvalde. I had had shoulder surgery at that time, so I had to sit on my bed in tears as I was watching our coverage and thinking, I mean, of all the horrible stories that I've covered where so many victims have died and families have suffered, This took it to a whole new level. But I know that I know her professor Lexi also attends St. Mary's University, and a professor there, Teresa Van Hoy, helped connect me and Sherry with Kimberly's story. Yes, she was in Austin every day of the session. Yes, she went to Congress, testified before Congress, and just recently she spoke before the Democratic National Convention about gun violence along with other families of victims. And unfortunately, it was a very short statement that she was able to give, but boy, you want to talk about a forum. There was a total silence as she told her story and what she was trying to do for so many other children, for so many other parents. So again, this would not happen or keep happening. And so the fact that we were able to feature Kimberly's story, again, mothers out there, women out there who are also faced with tragedy, their own tragedies, how do they move forward? How do they turn pain into something positive? And so I hope they can learn from Kimberly's experience. If she could do it, maybe I can. Maybe I can do this.
We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to continue our conversation talking about season 4 of KLRN's original program, Salud. It will be premiering on September 5th. And this is a show that spotlights Latinas who are dedicated to excellence and serving their communities. Henrietta, I see you on the board. I will get you on the air when we come back from this break. Our phone lines are open. If there is someone that you want us to know about, if you want to spotlight someone, a Latina here in San Antonio, who is fighting for change, who is working to improve the lives of their family, it can be small, it can be grand, it could be your abuelita, you know, just tell us about the women who are fighting to make San Antonio a better place. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues right after this. Thank you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Season 4 of KLRN's original program, Salud, will be premiering on September 5th. This is a show, a local show, produced at KLRN Public Television that spotlights, highlights Latinas who are dedicated to excellence in serving their communities. We're joined by Sherry St. Clair. She is KLRN's Director of News and Production. And Jessie DeGallo, you probably know her. You recognize her, 40 years on KSAT, a veteran television journalist. She will be co-hosting KLRN's Salud program. And you can call in if you wanted to say hi to Jessie. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Or if you want to tell us about Latinas that you know who are making a difference in San Antonio. And let's go to Henrietta on the phones. And Henrietta, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much. I love your show. It educates me every day. One person I need to highlight, her name is Rosa Rosales, who was a union organizer. And seeing her in action, that's what empowered me to help and do the same work in the community. She saved a lot of people's lives by educating them, because many times the employers were not doing the right thing by the workers. Many times they wanted to get rid of them because they were 18, 19, 17 years in employment. And if they got rid of them, that was the easiest thing to do, because they didn't have to give them any, what would you say, retirement or any benefits that they needed coming to. But it's Rosa Rosales, and I learned from her. And she's a beautiful person, and she's an empowered Latina like myself. And Rosa, if you're out there and you hear me, I'm proud of you. And Ms. DeGollado, I am proud of you. My son was a federal agent, and you interviewed him many times when he was out there in the trenches. So I thank you, and I admire you, and I'm proud of you, Ms. DeGollado.
Well, Henrietta, thank you so much for calling in. I'm really glad you did. And you want to respond to that, Jessie?
Henrietta, God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much. Yes, you're right. The one and only Rosa Rosales.
So that was when they closed the Levi plant?
Yes, and I did that
and
story.
And the group, the Fuerza Unidas?
Yeah, yeah. And but Rosa, of course, headed LULAC. Was very, very instrumental in LULAC. And she was one of those, the ladies with the hats, we would always know they were here because we saw their hats. That's and great. They were making statements. We are here. Do you see us? We're here. Now I want you to hear us. And they were always at meetings, always speaking up, speaking out for others, like Henrietta said, for those who had no voice, who had little voice, who were afraid to speak out because they were afraid of the consequences. But Rosa wasn't, never was. I never saw her back down. I saw her always that determined spirit. And I thought, orale, look at you. All right. And that was great to see those kinds of Latinas. And again, I'm speaking to the young, the new generation. What does Rosa Rosales say to you and about what your mission in life could be? Again, this is why I love what Salud is doing. Again, featuring women who have that kind of history, that kind of story, that kind of lesson to teach.
Let's go to another caller. We have Monica. And Monica, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just want to highlight and recognize Doctora Maria de Lourdes Mendez. She has been an educator for over 30 years. She started at Northside Independent School District, and she's already retired, but she's a first-generation Latina and has paved her way to get her doctorate. But most importantly, she's leading by example and impacting many students' lives and teaching them that they, too, can make a difference in the world. It doesn't matter if you're an immigrant, if you're female, if your parents don't have the best education or do not know English. She's paving the way for all our English language learners here in town and mentoring them to go out in the world and succeed despite any limitations that they may feel being immigrants. this woman is my mother.
Oh, awesome.
You're blessed.
And you were blessed. She continues her mission. Although she's retired, she continues to teach classes at Texas A&M University San Antonio to all our future educators to hopefully make the same impact she's done throughout all her career.
Dale una...
And I want to thank you, Mom.
Sí, oh, wow. Sí, como no. Dale una fuerza, un abrazo por
Monica,
mí.
Thank you so much
Please
for calling in.
Please give her a hug for me.
Thank you for calling in and thank you for spotlighting someone that everyone needs to know.
For your
about.
Mother's work and education.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, one of the, I wanted to mention, we've talked to a number of women that we've had on the show in the past. Educators have changed their lives. One of them is Dalia Contreras. She is the head of City Education Partners. She was on, I think, season two, and she had pictures of herself back in middle school, and she was right on the verge of being a gang girl. She was almost there. And her teachers started telling her, you're smart, you can do this, you can do this. And she said in our piece, it changed her life. She turned around. Now she's leading in the world of education. We also interviewed a wrestler named Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa, same thing. She was great. Great interview. But she talked about in her lifetime, who influenced you? She said, my teachers did. My teachers are the ones who changed my life, who made me realize what I was capable of and would tell me, you can't give up. You got to keep going. You got to push. And she even had educators who took her, drove her to take her SAT, drove her to college. Here's where you sign up. Here's what you do. Those were teachers, and I'm sure they did that on their own time.
Let's go back to the phones. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If there's a Latina in your life, someone that you know who should be recognized for their hard work and sacrifice, their dedication to excellence, helping develop the San Antonio community, let's hear about that. And we have Nicole. And Nicole, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just want to tell you all about my aunts, my tias. My parents both come from very large families, but these three ladies have lived in San Antonio all their lives, and they're still in the same neighborhood that they grew up in. And they worked hard, decades to help improve that neighborhood. I remember going to visit my grandmother, and those roads were dirt roads on the south side in the city of San Antonio. On King Street specifically, I remember. And they worked so hard doing petitions, campaigning, talking to the neighbors, talking to the leaders, the city councilmen and stuff like that, to get those roads paved, to get sidewalks put in. And I remember when that finally happened, they were so proud. They were so proud to see a huge improvement in the neighborhood, and it helped with the drainage and things like that. Their names are Enriqueta Lopez, Cruz Lopez, and Guadalupe Ibarra Lopez. They're gotten on in age now, and they're not really active, but like that's one of the things that they have done to help in the community, that you could see this tangible result. And they didn't do it for recognition or anything like that, but it'd be good to acknowledge what they've done.
What a legacy.
Wow, thank you for calling
in. What a legacy.
Saying those names on the air, we need to hear those names.
Yeah.
And they're telling me to get to Jim, so because he has to leave. So Jim, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to give remarks on my wife, Betty. She, we lost our son to drug addiction. April 3rd, 11 years ago, he passed on overdose. Yeah. But he was quite a philosopher. And one of the last things he said to us was that, don't worry about me, because sometimes people have to die so others can live. Well, he passed, and my wife took that and ran with it. She spoke to parents that had trouble with their kids, drug problems and whatnot, and she even was invited by I think it was Judge Pervity Austin at that time, to speak at the juvenile court system. So she spoke many times. She was involved with the, back then it was the Palmer Drug Abuse Program. Mm-hmm. and she shared my son's story. And he was a brilliant guy. I mean,
right.
Started reading at 3 years old, and what I just really smart kid. Well, when he passed, she wanted to use his words to spread his legacy, and she spoke a lot. She probably saved a lot of kids, talking to parents and whatnot. But she really dedicated her life to getting him some right. notoriety
and taking the loss and turning it into something positive. Jim, thank you for telling us about Betty. We do really appreciate that.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you.
Yeah. So incredible. I do have to get to this final break, and we're going to get to some more callers, and we're going to be hearing about some of these fantastic Latinas in San Antonio, hearing more about the new program, the new series that's coming up on KLRN in the fourth season of Salud, what they have in store. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. We are a community. We all share, and including we share our compassion and our hurt, and I'm so glad that I've been able to hear what you people are dealing with every day. Thank you for calling, and we're going to be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, and we're honoring San Antonio's fantastic Latinas. They have dedicated their lives to excellence and building our communities, serving one another's. And there is a program on KLRN that does this. They're going into their fourth season. It's called Salud. And we're joined by Sherry St. Clair. She's the KLRN Director of News and Production. And Jesse DeGallo, she is a 40-year veteran of television journalism on KSAT. And now she will be co-hosting Salud in the new season. And Jesse, just really quickly before I get to Valerie on the phones, you know, we're hearing a lot. We're hearing a lot. How are you dealing with that?
It never ceases to amaze me to know that there's so many people out there that have shared their stories today and have shared their stories with me over the last 40 years. And I just want them to know that every story, every heartache that they shared meant the world to me, and I know to our viewers who will certainly never forget their stories. And here we had, you just heard some of their examples. You yourselves were a little stunned, David. I mean, you were listening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just incredible how forthright people are in wanting to share.
But it is an honor to receive that gift.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't take that lightly, not by any means. And that's why I'm proud, I should say proud, humbled actually, that people would find that level of trust with me, that they found that they could share that with me.
Well, I'm going to get to another caller, and Julie is on the board. And Julie, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. Hello, my name is Julie Lujan. I wanted to highlight my sister, Mo Lujan. She is a harm reduction RN. She has worked throughout San Antonio to bring syringe exchange initially back in 2007-2008 to the streets of for the people that needed it. She's passionate. Her work to help and heal people that have been forgotten members of society or just give it up on themselves has been just. It's 24/7. Her phones are always ringing. Her cell phone is always ringing for her clients, and she meets them where they are, and she provides them with the self-care and the education that they need to take the first step to heal themselves. And and now she is running a free Hep C treatment program, and she's always thinking about the community. And I just want to highlight my sister.
And your sister's name again?
It's Mo Lujan. She's a harm reduction outreach nurse.
Well, thank you so much, Julie, for calling in. Everywhere you look in San Antonio, if you look, there's so many things that happen that you're not looking, you don't see, but stop and look. And so, Sherry St. Clair, you can talk about how you are doing that.
Well, I think we do have to look hard to find the right fit for this to some degree, but yet it's not been that hard because when you start looking there, it's people everywhere are leading. For the show, you know, with the first year we started, we had, as I mentioned, people like Hope Andrade, things like that. We've had people in education, in healthcare, in government, all of those things,
entrepreneurs.
One of the shows that we have coming up this season, well, in justices, we had Chief Justice, Fourth Court of Appeals, Rebecca Martinez. We just interviewed her. She'll be on the show. We had Tony Jimenez, who started with her sister, Chica Beauty, to do makeup and beauty. And what I found amazing about that is that is a very difficult industry to break into. I mean, L'Oreal, these are giants you're going up against, and they're doing very, very well. So it's women from everywhere. And hearing the people calling in, talking about these folks that you might be leading in a courtroom, you might be leading going on the streets, helping like Mo does. You know, and stepping out there and helping them. I listen to this. I could do this show. We could create this show for 20 years and barely touch on the women in this town. Mm-hmm. Dolores Huerta, leader, Chicana leader for many years ago. We had her on, I think, season 2. She said, women need to be in power. And that's what I'm hearing here right now when people are calling in. It's really wonderful. And Jesse, you're such an asset to this town. I love hearing your stories and what they meant to you and the trust people have had for you for so many years. And I worked with Jesse at KSAT, and you were a person that always was ethical at the top, as everybody there was, but you've led for so many years. I was glad to have you on the show a couple of years ago and thrilled that you're joining us this time.
Well, it's my honor again. And let me just also say that the other night we had an event at KLRN to highlight our new season. And I was amazed to see how many, everyone out there listening, how many young, aspiring, eager, ambitious, and maybe not some of them not that young anymore, women who attended this event. And to look out in the crowd and see the variety, the diversity of women.
So it gives you hope.
Who are out there. Yes, the next generation, the former generations, help, you know, supporting right. The next generation.
But we do need to applaud people, give them recognition. Absolutely. And encourage them and help them along. Let's go to Valerie on the phones. And Valerie, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to say I grew up watching you, Jesse Vegallo, on KSAT. I grew
thank
up
you.
Here in San Antonio.
Thank you.
And one thing that always struck me was the way you pronounced your last name. My maiden last name is Flores. And I found myself often saying Flores. But watching you, I was like, you know, it just made you come off as fearless. And
awesome.
I really like that.
Thank you.
And then lastly, there were so many Latina professors I had at my time at UTSA. I would love seeing a show that's dedicated to all of the professors at all of the great institutions that we have here, the higher education institutions. And, you know, just see a show that's dedicated to those professors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Great idea.
Well, Valerie, thank you.
When we've done education, like I said earlier, so many of these women were inspired by teachers. Teachers are a huge inspiration. One other thing that strikes me about Salute I want to mention is I think, too, it's creating a fabric in San Antonio of young women who are now supporting each other, young Latinas who are saying, hey, I want to support you, you support me. It's creating that kind of fabric. And I think we've seen that with the show and also with the event that we had, too. So that's been a real positive thing about the show.
I'm going to squeeze in another caller. We have Carlos. And Carlos, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just want to say thank you to the Councilwoman Melissa Cabello for all the hard work she's done for the city of San Antonio, and also to wish her the best in her career. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carlos, thank you. So have you've highlighted her, right?
I believe she was on one of the earlier shows, yes.
Yeah, Melissa Cabello Hubbard. I covered two of her elections when she was elected, then
is that right?
Then reelected. Yes,
so District
yes.
Six.
Yes,
and
very,
she's
very
been
community.
On the record too. Yeah,
very community oriented. Yeah, just recently, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact, with Randy Beamer.
So y'all also highlight people who have worked in the entertainment industry. You mentioned Patsy Torres and other mm-hmm. folks, but also I had not yeah. heard of this person, and this is Eva Morales, and she's a voiceover actress, and yes. let's give a listen to her clip.
I frequently hear being Latino as this separate set with separate rules. And the only thing I would say to anybody, Latino, Latina, you don't ever see that as a limitation. You know, if you are a Latino, Latina, you're in school, you're trying to get started in the business, recognize what a superpower that is.
She was great. She was on the Lax commercials, I want to say in the 80s or 90s. And so if you watch the show this season, you will see clip. You'll see little bits of her there because
wow.
I was like, I know her from somewhere. And that's
wow.
where it was. It's been just inspirational. David, I just appreciate so much that you asked us to come in and do this. You do a great job highlighting everybody in our community. So we appreciate this a lot.
Well, I appreciate. Thank you for saying that. But so, Jesse, switching from KSAT, you know, to public television. Mm-hmm. You're still on the air, and so we still have all of your tremendous experience and talent with us. But how's that transition going for you?
Oh, it's been flawless, I would like to think. Sherry, you tell me.
It's been great. We're just honored.
Well, let's put it this way. I grew up, like so many in the community, I grew up watching KLRN and Texas Public Radio, avid listener. So it is just a thrill to be associated with KLRN and now to be visiting with you, David. This is then being on TPR. I'm just so proud of me.
I'm proud of
you
too. And I said we were talking earlier about it's such an honor to get to do a job where you get to highlight the people in our community and the people we get to meet. It's changed my life. This show's changed my life to get to meet these women, young, old, well-known, not so well-known. All of them are an inspiration. It's changed my life, and just getting to do the job we get to do where we talk to people, it's wonderful.
So what can we look forward to in season four as it premieres next week?
A lot of the women we just talked about will be featured on that show, and Jessie DeGoyato will be doing her segment, which will be on the show as well, called Getting Started. Our host is Melanie Mendez-Gonzalez, and she's been with us almost all the seasons now. So we'll continue to feature women in San Antonio. We have Kimberly Mata Rubio, as we heard earlier. We talk with her. We've got Tony Jimenez. We have Kat Dizon, Susie Quintana, who will talk to us some, talk with Jesse about the importance of making sure you're taking care of you as you learn to lead. And it's going to be a great show.
And one thing that I want to convey, especially, again, to the next generation, or even those who are middle-aged, perhaps, and still weighing, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Am I doing what I really want to do, or do I want to do something else? And who you may be asking yourself, well, am I the only one feeling these feelings? Am I the only one asking these questions with these doubts? Know that you are not alone. I have seen that. Since coming to KLRN and doing this program and doing that event, no, you are not alone, and there is a network and, as you say, a fabric of support out there willing to help make it happen for you.
Jesse DeGoyato, 40-year veteran of television journalism. You know her from KSAT. Now she's over at KLRN, and she's a co-host of their Salud program. Sherry St. Clair is KLRN's director of news and production. The new season 4, will begin on September 5th. And thank you both for coming into the studio and talking to us today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.